I'm afraid, gentlemen, that what we have here before us isn't what we thought.
You don't mean...
This, may God help us, is Zombie Takeout. Welcome to episode 23 of Zombie Takeout, the B-Movie and Cult Movie Podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scott O.
And before we get into this week's movie, we have some listener feedback, once again from Michelle.
Yes.
I bet you take this one, Scott.
Let's see. She thanks us for reading her previous comments and tells me to never be ashamed of who I am. She's not, because she's also a Weird Al fan. And oddly enough, finds stuff I've said funny, which I don't know. I just don't know. Also finds, I think her favorite part was when JFK opened the drawer full of candy.
Yes.
and finds some of what you've said funny too, which is also odd.
Yeah.
Not as odd, though, as what, finding the stuff I said funny.
I have to agree with that.
She also can't see Ron Perlman playing Elvis either, and thinks it'd be a disaster.
Yeah. I'm staying optimistic about that one, because I really wouldn't have seen Bruce playing him either.
I'm still going with Anthony Hopkins.
Of course. And so, on to this week's movie. And once again, another absolute classic.
Yes.
We should have gotten too much sooner.
Well, we can only do so much. I mean, we're taking these one at a time.
It was an obvious choice, and I think we kind of held off on the obvious ones.
Right. Right. But we'll pick them up as we go along.
Of course. I'm talking about, of course, from 1978, Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
Right. I, for some reason, thought this was done much earlier than 78.
Yeah, I did too.
Even while watching the movie, I was kind of like, wait a minute, until I saw the Jaws references.
Yeah. Well, it does kind of have a bit of a late 60s feel.
I was thinking 75 for some reason. I have no idea why.
Well, that's only off by a few years.
Yeah, yeah. And it's very obviously 1970s. And you can see movies placed in any other decade, but is it just me, or do the 1970s look like another planet?
Yeah, they do kind of. Yeah,
it doesn't look, it looks alien, everything. I mean, you can see stuff dating back to the 40s, and you can say, all right, they're using different, you know, technology,
yeah,
whatever. But the way they dressed.
It's the clothes,
everything.
Yeah.
The wood paneling everywhere. It's just...
Yeah, I actually had that same thought watching the movie, that the clothes, and actually along the lines of what you just said. Because any other period, there's a similarity,
right,
to what, you know, to current fashion, except for the 70s. I mean, it came back a bit in the 90s, but never really.
Never to that degree.
No.
There was as much as the 80s came back in this decade, the 70s came back in the 90s, which isn't really a whole lot.
No.
But the people looked more alien to me than the tomatoes did in the movie.
Yeah.
It looked like it was set on another planet.
Mm-hmm.
The planet 1970s.
And before this turns into a fashion podcast, let's move on to the plot summary. Skydo's impromptu plot summary.
Yes.
Brought to you this week by Sunnyvale Furniture.
Of course. Everything must go.
Mm-hmm.
And, wow, you know how we've joked in the past about, I don't know if we so much joked as observed, that drug humor in most movies are written by people that obviously don't do drugs.
Yes.
This movie was obviously written by people that do drugs.
Absolutely.
There really isn't much for me to work with here. I mean, we've said, I'd like to see how Scott's going to pull this summary off in
Prop 2.
I was
thinking that.
But this one, I think I'm in over my head. Let's see. I'll give it a shot here. Tomatoes are attacking people. They don't explain why in the beginning. They don't explain how until the very end. Well, actually, they don't even
They don't
explain
really
how.
explain it.
They kind of explain why, but they don't explain how until the very end. Or
No,
you
they
get what I mean.
never explain how.
Right. They explain the why in the end, not the how. How are they attacking people? They sort of throw themselves at people
Well,
and.
okay, that how. I thought you meant how they were being controlled, which they never
Well,
really explain.
yeah,
But
they
how do they actually physically go about killing?
Yes.
Well, there was the one guy who drank the tomato juice.
Well, yeah,
So
there's that.
that you can kind of explain, or at least reason out.
There's the helicopter crash in the beginning, which I was like, wow, that looks awesome, only to find out that it was real.
It was unintentional, and the two actors, after being pulled from the wreckage, improvised the rest of the scene. But as far as the other how, yeah, I was wondering that too, because they don't have teeth, they don't have any sort of weapons.
Right.
They just sort of, I guess, bounce into the people they're killing, but you would think that they would get crushed before they would kill the person. I
Right.
mean, if I was having tomatoes pelted at me, I mean, it would be annoying and perhaps painful, depending on where they hit, but I think I could survive it.
Now, in response to this catastrophe that has befallen the United States of America, we are the movie follows the reaction of two different people, the White House press secretary and some intelligence special forces operative named, oh man, I shudder even to say this, Mason Dixon.
Yes.
So, I'm
And
not exactly sure what the press secretary's job is in all of this, or what he has
Why,
to do.
yeah, why would you put the press secretary out in the field?
But his story is a lot more interesting than Mason Dixon's
Yeah,
story,
yeah.
who I forget at what point in the movie I figured out that he was actually the main character of the film.
Yeah, there's a couple of head fakes as far as the importance of various characters.
Right.
This also leads to the one actor who, there's always the one actor who goes on to do something interesting. There was actually one established name in this movie.
Yeah. Who?
Jack Riley, best known for his work on the Bob Newhart show.
Right. That. All right. Because you know what? I recognized him from Barney Miller and
Okay.
Night Court.
He's done a ton of guest starring roles in the 70s and early 80s. If you've seen any
Right.
TV from that period, you've seen him.
And so I recognized him, and I was hoping that he was going to be more
Well,
obvious.
they set him up. He's one of the two who were in the plane crash, and at that point they set him up as a lead role.
And
But
yeah.
he's not credited.
That's what I was looking for him.
Unless you hunt through his IMDb page and you see he's credited as the salesman, even though he was barking orders for his few scenes.
Yeah. So, well, to finish the plot summary, Mason Dixon has a team for some reason that
Yeah, should we discuss the team?
they really only last for a couple of scenes each.
Well, except for the disguise expert. He lasts for a while.
Yes. Who is probably the funniest of the
Yes.
entire lineup? His deputy, of course, or his lieutenant, it does last the movie, but kind of gets old towards the end, you know?
Well, a lot of this. Okay, I'm just gonna get into it. Didn't come out
Yeah,
with it.
that's pretty much the plot anyway. You're following their reaction, of course, and
It does get old
they fight
because
the tomatoes.
it's really just one cheap joke after another.
Right, and I was wondering if I was going to be alone on this, but.
It was fun for about a half hour, and then I got really bored.
Yeah, this was I compare this to an SNL skit
Yeah.
that, I mean, starts off with a great premise and really has a lot of potential. And then it just kind of goes on much too long.
It was it's And I think it was a big influence on Airplane. It's a lot
of course.
It's a lot like that kind of humor. It's just one joke after another. You know, you could, there's barely a beat between them.
Well, not necessarily. There are parts where I'm like, what? When is this gonna, you know? And then something will come up, and they'll be, oh, okay, just in time to keep me into it.
But did you catch I think the one that set the tone for me and probably the funniest bit in the movie, at the very beginning on the radio, first lines, you hear 1 out of 12 in Houston, we have a problem.
Yes. I
loved that.
It's probably the first Apollo 13 joke, you know, made, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, who was... After the movie, obviously, we were bombarded by those jokes. Mm-hmm. But this is 78.
Yeah.
That was material that people wouldn't have thought to have poked fun at.
No, because it wasn't long after the actual event.
Well, they also made Vietnam jokes.
Yeah. That's true. And it was even shorter after that. They really had no sense of political correctness. And again, it was the 70s. There really was nothing, no such thing as political correctness, at least as a concept.
Right.
Because there's the disguise expert dresses up as Hitler at one point.
Which was hilarious.
Yes, considering he's black.
Yes. Black Hitler.
And he's mistaken for Hitler by one character.
The dumb lieutenant guy who...
Who spends the entire... he parachutes in.
The parachute bit was funny the first couple times, but once it got to the chase scene with it and that, it was just...
His entrance is via a parachute. He lands on top of Mason Dixon's car. And he keeps the paratrooper uniform on, complete with the parachute trailing behind him for the entire movie.
Yeah, and they could have dropped it after a while.
Yeah, at least the parachute itself. Keep the uniform.
After the elevator bit, they could have dropped it.
Mm-hmm.
That was all they needed to do with that.
Once they got into the hotel.
Yeah.
Also, there are, and this really... confuzzled me. 2 musical numbers. Completely random.
Oh my god. The first musical number. That was out there.
And I don't just mean characters singing characters. I mean full on choreographed the whole nine.
I was completely losing interest in this movie until that first musical number hit. I was just, all right, you know, okay, we've seen this, we've heard this. Wait, what? He's singing?
Also, one bit of trivia we have to get to.
Speaking of musical numbers.
Yes, there's a song that features fairly heavily in the latter, I'd say, third of the movie. Called Puberty Love. It's a parody of, you know, your typical, you know, teen pop song.
Which it was a joke that was way ahead of its time, I think.
Yes, yes.
Making fun of the teen idol.
Mm-hmm. It's performed by one Matt Cameron.
And
if that name rings a bell, it's because he was the drummer for Soundgarden and currently the drummer for Pearl Jam. I think he made the right decision switching to drums.
Yeah, I think so too. But he was a kid back then.
Yeah.
So I mean, the
and
whole...
I did some photo check references, and I think that was actually him on the LP cover.
Oh, that's great. It probably was, because I mean, I've seen the guy before, so you know, looks like him. Really, this probably would make a much better musical.
Yeah.
A movie, I'm thinking.
Oh, yeah.
They could easily do it, too.
And Broadway's been recycling lately.
Broadway has been...
Recycling for a while, yeah.
But this would be perfect for it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were some other gags in this movie that really did work, too. Don't get me wrong. Them, you know, clamoring into the one room for the Joint Chiefs
The table. Well, the table bit was great the first time.
That's true. Then they went and,
overdid it. The one that really did it for me, as far aside from, obviously, the opening lines, was the dubbing on the Japanese scientist.
Right.
This Japanese scientist goes to give, you know, is giving a speech, and he's badly dubbed.
I'm guessing that was pretty new,
yeah.
A pretty new joke for the time.
A lot of those movies were made in the 70s.
Right.
So yeah, they were
thought to throw that in.
We're ahead of their time in that sense, or ahead of the curve at least.
Think about it. Even when Saturday Night Live did the old Hercules movie joke with that was badly dubbed.
Mm-hmm.
And this was back in the 80s, so years
yeah.
after that. I think it might have even been Bill Murray making a guest spot on there.
Wow.
And this boulder is too large. I will have to move another. That was seen as original then, so
yeah.
this, I'm giving, I'd have to give props for that.
Yeah.
So that's, I think we've done the plot, the summary, the characters.
Wow.
Obviously, there have been...
We're getting into sequels. Okay, yeah. There's been three. Return of the Killer Tomatoes, Killer Tomatoes Strike Back, and Killer Tomatoes Eat France. 88, 90, and 91, respectively.
Also, there's been a TV show, but was that a Saturday morning cartoon?
It was a cartoon, I believe.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's what I thought too.
I've seen, of the sequels, I've seen Return of the Killer Tomatoes. It's a lot better.
Really?
It also features one George Clooney.
Oh, that's right.
Very early in his career. There's a great bit, and we probably shouldn't spoil this because I do want to get to it eventually, but there's a great
yeah.
bit where they run out of money in the middle of the movie and decide to use product placement.
Right. We'll save that one for the future.
And it also features John Astin, so...
You can't go wrong there.
Yeah. I haven't seen either of the other two. I vaguely remember the animated series. It
and
really had nothing to do.
Oddly enough, the director and writer, obviously John DiBello, you know, did both, but
mm-hmm.
he also had Costa Dillon co-writing with him.
Oh, just a quick interjection, speaking of John DiBello, I had to look him up because I almost mistook him for John DiBella, who was a DJ in Philadelphia in the 80s.
But these guys have mostly devoted their careers to Killer Tomatoes in one way or another.
Yeah, they've kept with the franchise. They keep pushing it.
But that's all they've done. You would think that they would stray off and do something else or come up with some other project. But this was their masterpiece,
in a way. And the most recent version of it being a comic book put out in 2008.
Right. So it's amazing. This thing has been around for over 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And... I mean, do they have some other job on the side?
That's
can't
a
be
good
it?
Question, because they really can't be making much off of this franchise.
Right. I mean, it has to pay the bills and stuff, but I don't understand the devotion to it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The 30 years, spending your life's work being the Killer Tomatoes.
I suspect they think it deserves a bigger... but deserves more recognition. And they're just not getting it, and so they keep pushing until it gets it.
Well, I think the big problem is the Zuckers wound up doing it a lot better.
Yes, yes. And again, that had to be an influence on Airplane.
Oh, definitely.
And the
Without
Naked Gun and all of those Leslie Nielsen things.
Without
that whole style. This basically was the origin for that whole style.
Yeah.
The scary movies, all of those, you know, one, you know, joke a second kind of movies.
Right, the gags with, you know, the guy taking a shower in the hallway or you know, just all sorts of crazy things thrown at you.
And I think for that it really does deserve a lot of recognition. Even if it didn't do it well on its own, it led to a lot of movies that didn't do it well at all, but a few who really nailed it. I mean, the only one doing this style ahead of this was Mel Brooks.
Right.
And they just took what he did and just amped it up.
I would say that, I don't know if they were anywhere near Mel Brooks'...
Well, no, nowhere near his ability, his level, by no means. But I think he was probably an influence on them, because it's a similar style of humor, and they just, multiplied the number of jokes, and then that went on to influence the Zuckers, and they went on to influence whoever's doing the scary movies, that
You know, nobody knows their names.
The genre movie, I should say.
But yeah, everybody talks about,
Scary. Well, the first one, I think, was done by one of the Wayans.
Yeah, I think so.
And then somebody else took it over.
Whoever was co-writing with the Wayans. Nobody knows their names. It's just the not another
or the genre
movie. Genre.
Now we've gotten to the spin-offs and the sequels. More interestingly, and this is the exciting part: the remakes.
The remake.
Now I hear the breath. I understand. I'm kind of with you, except. Remake of the film is in development for a possible 2011 release. Kent Nichols and Douglas Sirene, creators of Ask a Ninja, are developing the project.
Okay, now you've got me. If you're bringing the Ask a Ninja guy on there...
Nichols' directorial debut, Emdahl Walton II will be co-producing, along with Emmett Perla Films. I don't know either of them, but the Ask a Ninja guys are doing it.
That you just might have me there.
Yeah, that I will have to say. Because you know you're going to see Douglas Sarn in the ninja costume.
This script could be cleaned up a whole lot more than this.
Oh, please.
Yeah. Remember how you said that? It kind of gives you a whole new respect for UHF.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they were able to pull off the insanity with the coherent...
plot.
Overused plot,
yeah,
but still coherent and didn't get in the way of the gags.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's a matter of scale.
What's that?
They just tried too much. They threw one joke in. It was kind of like the way I used to write on the Tuesday Afternoon Show. It was, you know, throw as many jokes in as possible. If one doesn't get you, the next one will. And... you know, they just tried too hard.
If they
scaled it down and really edited those jokes, it would have been brilliant.
It's not even the jokes that were the problem. It was the plot they were trying to hang it on.
Well, the plot, it was, what you got to bear in mind is, it was a parody of B-movies.
Right. Oh, yeah, I get that completely. But, we're not going to invest in the plot because the plot isn't something to invest in anyway,
well,
right?
Yeah.
So then when you try to make the big confrontation or a chase scene, just to have a chase scene,
mm-hmm.
you're gonna put some people to sleep.
Yeah.
So are we up to brains now?
I suspect we are.
Yeah.
I was torn on this one. But I think I'm going to be kind of generous and go 3.5.
Now, I'd say I start... when I... the first 20 minutes of
mm-hmm.
this movie...
I think that's basically what I'm basing mine on.
The first 20 minutes of this movie, I was at 4. I was
mm-hmm.
in this...
I was 4.5, 5 maybe for the first half hour.
Then I'd say about 40, 45, I was down to about 3.
Oh, no.
Then by somewhere after that hour, I'm finishing off with 2.
Okay.
that is where I'll stand on this. I mean, there was a lot of there was a lot of great bits in this,
mm-hmm.
which is why it's going to get more than They Call Me Bruce.
Yeah, I think. Oh, that's another thing it reminded me of, because they kind of tried the same thing with They Call Me Bruce.
Right.
But it worked so much better in this one.
Well, I think They Call Me Bruce is a lot more about the parody,
mm-hmm.
And reminded me a lot more of the Not Another movies than the
yeah.
Suckers, which of course is someone a lot better to remind you of when you're trying something like this. But yeah, there were just too many parts where I was just losing interest. You know, it wasn't, if you're going to do the joke a minute, you got to keep doing the joke a minute.
Yeah.
And not repeat the same joke.
Oh, yeah.
I think that was the big problem with this, where you've seen it all before from the first half of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
The second half, they're just repeating the same jokes from the first half.
I suspect the clips we're going to have on the website are probably going to be enough for most of the audience.
I think so, too.
Watch those, And then if you really want to, I mean, it is a classic. It's one of those, like, Plan 9 that everyone should see.
If you're a huge Zucker fan, you have to see this.
If you're a B-movie aficionado at all, this has to be, you know, you have to know this one.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it, be prepared for a nap.
Have the Microsoft Hearts game.
I was playing Solitaire for most of it.
Watching this. But, I mean, there are some great gags in there, and that are worth it.
Yeah. So, what have we learned?
Well, we learned there's a great place to go to get some sofas and chairs and furniture.
And I learned never trust a fruit that tastes like a vegetable.
It is just a fruit, isn't it?
Yes. And we're not we're not explaining that joke.
Yeah.
So, until next week, go to zombietakeout.com. We've got clips from the movie, which, are, as we said, are probably all you need to see. We've got the album art, the episode description, of course, the show itself, and the list of movies that we are planning on seeing in future episodes. Speaking of the list, we got an email from Michelle this week, and she recommended 3 movies that are now on the list.
Okay.
Critters. Let me see what else I'm blank. Critters, one called Strays, okay. And Swamp Thing, I just remembered.
Oh, all right. Yeah, not a bad idea.
Critters and Swamp Things, definitely. I've never seen Strays, so that should be interesting. If you have suggestions for movies you'd like us to check out, go send an email to zombietakeout@gmail.com or go to zombietakeout.com and leave a comment.
All right.
So until next week, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.
And in other news today, in Newark, New Jersey, a man was eaten by a bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich.
I didn't want to come right out and say it, you know. But, you know, do you think I put the point across enough that
yeah,
you need to be
you might
some
wanna,
assistance?
I think you want to hammer it home a little more.
You think so? I mean, well, because I said at the beginning, you know, obviously they were on something when they did this.
Obviously.
No doubt about it.
Tomatoes?
Yeah. Actually, you know, interesting fact that I left out? There's a old Genesis song called Return of the Giant Hogweed that is actually referenced somewhere in there.
Wow.
when they're reporting about the what they've done to try to stop the tomato, because the hogweed, of course, is a plant that's off killing people in the song.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is a movie you gotta watch under the influence of something.
Yeah, I would recommend being some impaired in some way. Yeah.
Yeah. Although it might be even more difficult to keep paying attention to it.
Well, yeah, true. But you'll just kind of wander back, and that's what you want.
Okay. All right, I could see that then. Oh, isn't that one to grow on?